Welcome back to another episode of Afro Movie Review, the podcast.
Hey, welcome, gang. The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the chocolate chip podcaster.
And I am Keeks, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster. Welcome back. I'm so excited.
We are at the end.
This is the last episode of the season.
Yo, season 7 is ending with a bang. We are on episode 90. The movie of this episode is 1001, which makes the year 2023. Keeks, ooh. I think, yeah, I can't wait to get into this one. This was, yeah. I think that, I don't know if you started last time or if I started last time. We can rock, paper, scissors on wax.
Let's rock, paper, scissors on wax.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yay!
Yay! Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
You beat me.
I should have chose paper.
All right, now.
So I have like two long ones and one short one. So we're going to sandwich it. So
okay.
June 5th, Australian woman Kathleen Fobig is pardoned after 20 years in prison for the murder of her 4 children after new genetic research found evidence of a gene disorder in the children. She was wrongfully convicted in 2003 of murdering her 4 infant children, incriminated by her own damn husband. Bitch, what happened to death do us parts? Anyway, they convicted her on a interpretation of her personal diaries that was discovered by her husband's that suggested she may have harmed or murdered her children. The defense said that the entries were more of a typical grieving mother's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
There was no direct evidence of the alleged crimes found, and it was all based on circumstantial evidence. She had 4 kids. She had Caleb, born 1989. He had a condition that caused the cartilage of his larynx to collapse inward when he inhaled, and it blocked his airways, and he grew out of it. But he ended up dying at 19 months old in his sleep from SIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, who Kathleen found unresponsive, and her bitch of a husband, Craig, tried to give CPR, and he was taken to the hospital, and he was diagnosed with epilepsy and a cortical blindness, and he died 4 months later due to seizures.
Mm.
They also had Sarah, who died at age 10 months, and they had Laura, who died at age 18 months. Do you remember that Sally Clark case where the doctor was like, one SIDS is a tragedy.
I thought you were doing a repeat fact because I was like, this sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar because they used that same excuse on her in order to convict her. They said 3 is murder until proven otherwise. So she was sentenced to 40 years in prison with a non-parole period of 30 years, which was later reduced to 30 years in prison with a non-parole of 25 years.
Mm.
Someone wrote a book about her, and it garnered so much attention that a team of lawyers was put together in order to like help exonerate her. And they got forensic pathologists, medical experts, and they all concluded that it was a natural death. But it wasn't until they met the immunologist who found out that they have a certain genetic marker that causes a gene called a COM2 that helps regulate the heart expansion and contractions. And it's also linked to a syndrome that causes fast, chaotic heartbeats that can be life-threatening and associated with severe cardiac disorders and sudden death in infancy.
Hello.
First appeal was rejected March 24, 2021. The second judicial review called for the governor to pardon her, and he did. She was released that same day, June 5th, 2023. Wow. Her husband testified against her in court in 2003, and he was not only suffering from cancer, but he also died of a heart attack. And even with all of the overwhelming evidence, he still believed his ex-wife was responsible for their deaths. And with him dying from a heart attack, it could have been very well his genetic markers that
or the
caused,
combination of them together made that, yeah.
That caused the mutation that killed his children. But yeah, he died March 5th, 2024. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was.
Mm.
Not about women going to jail wrongfully, like, can you imagine? Like, she even got her ass beat in jail because they thought she killed her kids.
Of course, they don't take lightly to people who do anything to harm children, the elderly. You know, there's a line that even, you know, it's like no honor amongst thieves. Yes, there is. Yes, there, you know. Mine are light.
Oh, mine are definitely not. So let's do that.
Okay, so mine are sandwich. Do you want to do April or January? I'll let you pick.
January, because then I'm a pick.
January 5th, Pocahontas revealed as the 12th great-grandmother of actor Edward Norton on PBS's Find Your Roots. This Edward Norton is an actor. You know him, Jujulim. You know Edward Norton. When you pop up, you're going to be on your fucking face. I'm excited.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Edward Norton. Okay, so I know Edward Norton from American History X. It's one of the most impactful movies that I've ever seen in my life. And he played the fuck out of that role. I did not like him for a long time, but I had to realize separate. And the fact that he seems to be all right outside of that. Back to Pocahontas, though. From Fight Club, yep. Pocahontas, also known as Matawaka, was born somewhere in the year of 1596 and died in March of 1617. She was 21 when she passed away. Very young. The story that we have from Disney is very much romanticized and Disney-fied, right? She was captured in the context of the First Anglo-Powhatan War. That was a conflict between the Jamestown settlers and the natives that began in the summer of 1609. Her first husband, Kokoam, who was portrayed in the movie, he was killed after the colonists captured his wife in 1613. She got married to John Ralph, and she changed her name to the baptismal name Rebecca, and then they went to England, right? So she was about to return to Virginia. They made it as far as the River Thames. She got super sick. She died. And the speculations of her death is that she had either pneumonia, smallpox, tuberculosis, hemorrhage, dysentery, or that she was poisoned. She is said to be buried at St. George's Church in Gravesend, and it's like that they think that her grave is underneath the church because that church burned down and there was no, like, they were like, where would it be? So it burned down in 1727. So the exact site of her final resting place is unknown, but they do have a memorial statue of her there in that area. Very fucked up. But Edward Norton is her 12th great grandson. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Your fucking face. You're more disturbed by my fact than by your own.
Rebecca, I have so many questions. Oh my God.
Man.
Oh my God. Okay. My second fact, I'm going to piggyback. January 24th. The doomsday clock resets 90 seconds until midnight, the closest it's ever been. Set up in 1947 by a bulletin of the atomic scientists due partly to the war in Ukraine. I mention this because we literally just had Hurricane Helene, Milton. Nadine is on the way.
Uh-huh.
In addition to the war in Ukraine, we also have the genocidal bombing of Palestine, Lebanon, Iran. And it's like climate change is very real, and like the way Helene didn't stop till she reached Lake Erie in Pennsylvania. That's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Asheville is off the map, and it's like, I don't know,
we're clicking down.
Maybe we should stop this. I don't know, because war is accelerating this shit, so maybe we should stop these
war type bombings, activities. So, yeah,
you know, we cannot die because
you know, just want to live,
you know, everything else trying to kill me. I would like to be able to go outside and like fucking live. So yeah,
my second fact is going to be short and sweet. March 13th, vinyl records outsell CDs in the U.S. for the first time since 1987. There were 41 million vinyl records sold versus the 33 million CDs, according to the new report. 2023, I bought used records, probably. I wasn't buying newer ones, so I don't know if I was a part of the new, if like that number is only for newer CDs, newer vinyls, reprints, things like that. And if they were comparing new releases that were vinyls versus CDs or things, but I do think that it was just like the gambit. I think record stores are making a huge comeback. I have had my record player, I think, since 2010. And so I've bought my parents' records from people like that were giving away or like selling their collections and things like that over the years, and decided that I wanted to have one of my own. And I can't even remember the record that I started with, if it was not the Wiz soundtrack or a Sesame Street record that I found that was like their 20-year anniversary performance or something. And I was like, Sesame Street was putting shit out on wax. How fun. So, yeah.
Hey, I love
vinyls are coming back.
I can't wait to start my collection because I already have albums in mind that I'm just like, I need this.
And I love you because I know that your list and your collection of vinyls is not going to be the Spotify that I'm seeing on some people's stuff. Like,
no, not I got by. Nina Simone, James Moore, Reverend James Moore. Like,
I'm give it to the people.
So excited for that. Denai Washington, if possible. Oh my God. Yes. So my last fact, bouncing off of you, March 2nd, South Carolina prominent attorney Alex Murdaugh found guilty of murdering his wife and son after scandalous series of events. Is that one of yours?
No, I just watched
but
all
you
the
know it? The way I was like, damn, what's going on? So,
that shit was crazy.
This man comes from a family of lawyers, and that's probably why he thought he could get away with it. But June 2nd, 2021, he texted his wife to meet up so that they could go visit his dad because he was terminally ill. And she was suspicious. She said, I think he's up to something. This is what she texted her friend. So she went up to go meet him. She found her 22-year-old son's body, Paul, and then Alex called saying he found both his wife and his son's body with multiple gunshot wounds in the head, wrists, and chest with different guns. He said he was with his mother with dementia. Already,
yeah,
my fucking up.
Hello, she can't even say he was there.
But evidence places him at the time of the murder. October, he was a person of interest. July 2022, he was arrested. 2 counts of murder, 2 counts of possession of a weapon during the commission of a violent crime. They say he shot his wife with a rifle and his son with a shotgun. And of course, he pleaded not guilty because he thought he was going to get away with this. The prosecutors were lenient. They said life without parole, not death penalty, even though
that's a state that could absolutely give it to you.
They could, like South Carolina. So, lawyer said, you don't need to report on his financial crimes. And the judge said, actually, I'll allow
you do.
It. Jury, consider it whether or not that was a motive in the killings. He got a charge during trial for passing contraband in the courtroom. Bold as fuck, nigga. You are going to jail.
Jail.
Not smart, like nigga. In the interview, he had it on record, him saying, it's so bad, I did him so bad. Talking about Paul, his son, his voice was not only caught in a video taken by Paul before the murders, but they said that the motive was stress because of his financial situation being found out, because this nigga was thiefing. Okay.
He was addicted to to pills, and he was.
Tell you the way he took the stand himself, he denied the killing, but he said, I didn't kill him, but I did lie to the officers about being at the scene of the crime because he was addicted to opioids.
He was addicted,
and then he said, I actually also stole from my legal clients, my firm, and I asked a relative to shoot me. Less than 3 hours of deliberation, he was guilty on all charges. They tried to file a motion for mistrial. The judge said, and I quote, the evidence of guilt is overwhelming.
I'm not doing this with you, sir.
2 consecutive life sentences without parole. Then May 2022, federal grand jury returned an indictment of 22 counts for money laundering, wire fraud, bank fraud, and a conspiracy to commit wire fraud and bank fraud. He pleaded guilty to all 22 accounts, got an additional 27 years by the state, sentenced 40 years federal, and has to pay back $8.7 million to his victim, sir, what were you doing?
You got to watch the documentaries about it. He's just wild.
When I saw that, I said, damn, it really is who you married. But also, nigga, what was you on?
Them pills, them man-made pills. He was addicted heavy.
Oh, my God. That was, what's the documentary called?
It's like Murdoch County or like Murdoch. If you look it up, I think there's one on too. Because you know they like to compete.
I'm also bleep out them names. Y'all don't get free.
I was going to say, y'all know that's right. Pay us. My third and final fact is April 16th, 2023. Spanish extreme athlete Beatriz Flamini exits a deep cave in Granada, Spain after spending 500 days isolated underground in a probable world record as part of a social isolation experiment. Babe. So, Miss Flamini is a Spanish extreme athlete and mountaineer. She's known for this. She's known for self-isolation, self-sufficiency. This time in the at the cave is called the Time Cave. She studied to be a sports instructor. She was employed as an aerobics teacher in Madrid. In the 90s, she joined a cave exploring expedition as a photographer and like fell in love with it. So she moved to a mountain refuge in Sierra de Gredos to be a rescue worker and figured out how to survive on her own. November 21, 2021, which I really love that date. I feel like she picked it for specific reasons. She entered the cage at the age of 48. She said she spent that 500 days recreationally exercising, drawing, reading, and knitting. She said she was very conscious of how much she spoke aloud because she wanted to maintain the natural silence of the cave. She was able to send messages from down there, but she couldn't receive any. So she could tell them that she was alive, she was okay, whatever. And they could provide her with, your fucking face. They could provide her.
Okay, you can go get lost in the forest. I am afraid.
Cave. She she was supported by a group of volunteers who provided her food. They maintained her equipment. They removed her waste so that she was absolutely cognizant of how much impact she had on the cave. Uh-huh. But after 300 days into her isolation, she said that she was getting inaudible sonic waves from her emergency communication devices, and she had to move her tent closer to the exit, not out of the cave, but closer to the exit. And she had a brief face-to-face discussion with one of the members of the team explaining what was happening. And so that 8 days that she spent at the exit of the trance trying to get her ears back into equilibrium, it disqualified for her from beating a record who was set by a person by the name of Veljevic.
Damn.
By 8 days, but she spent 500 days in that bitch. Came out 2 years older.
You got it, ma'am.
I know when COVID hit, she was like, and? Like, I'll just go to this cave.
It's just, the woods is right there. Like, I just,
and she said, motherfuckers be walking in the woods. I don't know. The cave is dark. Don't nobody come here. Bigfoot. So, yes, those are the facts.
God, because I'm just, bats are in a cave. Like,
you know how I feel about the sky puppies. Don't do them. Just don't touch them.
You say that, but also, anyway.
They got rabies and stuff. That's what I'm called. But owls is the real gangster of the sky. I'm trying to tell you, we can discuss it. You villainous, villainous. I know who you are.
You guys know what time it is.
It's the plug.
Yeah, so the plug for this season, as it has been the entire season, is take care of yourself, take care of others. This is a good time to have that reminder. It is getting cold. Hydrate yourself. Do all the good shit you're supposed to. Buy good lotions.
And for the last time, check your misogyny and massage noir. And trans massage noir.
Yeah. Let's get into this movie. 1001. This is the last movie in the season that is dedicated to women directed it. Our director of this movie is A.V. Rockwell. So,
what was your No, what do your lenses look like? I was going to say, what is your score?
I was like, what are your lenses look like? Thank you, babe. So my lenses last time for this season are the single bent copper wire frame and legs of the glasses. On the legs, we have the penis hanging from the balls. And for the lens, the left one is a half circle lens with the copper that comes across the module. Comes across with a little nodule. And then the right is a full one with the same cross that comes across. We have brown lenses because that's the type of titties that I like.
Mine is very thin, round lenses that stacked on each other going downwards mid-cheek. They move as one unit with the bottom one being an areola and a nipple. And the nose bridge is a Sankofa symbol because saggy titty supremacy in this bitch.
Yeah, tube socks in the wind. All right, so woo, for 1,001. Do we do the ranking first? Yeah, let's do the ranking. Yeah. What was your ranking, babe?
A 7 out of 10.
I love that. I gave this an 8.5 out of 10. I think that is a fair ranking for us when we do the calculations. What were your categories?
I have flabbergasted. I have just like a black mama. I have,
Okay.
I have this nigga gotta go. I hate my mom.
I hate my dad.
And I have my classic LOL. What are your categories?
Okay, so I have, the hustle. And then I have, the baby. it's a cycle. Fashion. Yeah, that hurt. Question mark. Okay. No, it says, uh-oh. That's what it is. Question mark, uh-oh. And then I have the heart emoji.
Okay.
There were some things that I absolutely liked. Let's get into this movie. It's funny that you have Just Like a Black Mama because Inez is Afro-Latino, right? Which I loved the portrayal of the diaspora because New York.
Right.
I loved it.
But the way she was handling Terry, like, girl,
when she got it. If you don't calm down, that was you wanted almost, him back.
Explain, because girl, why don't you just talk to him? You telling lucky things that you want to tell him, but you're not telling him in a calm enough manner. I think there was one point where he had grown up, and I was like, you still ain't learned to talk to this nigga. Like, about the tech school, like, you still sitting here just yelling, demanding, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Explain to him, and the way this baby has an abandonment issue, okay?
Real life.
Flabbergasted is all them hard-hitting-ass questions. You left me on the street corner? Why you keep leaving me?
Oh, girl. That was older baby. As soon as he started asking those questions, I was just so hurt for him, and I felt like... like, what is going on? There was so much happening. I didn't know why she wouldn't. It really was like why she wouldn't explain to him, because his questions, not that they would have healed his heart, but him having a little background and understanding might have given him something. when Lucky came, it seems like all of her ideas were built up on having a family. And then once it was revealed, you know, how she came about having Terry, it was absolutely like it makes sense why Lucky was such a strong, you know, a hard part of her dream in that, you know?
The way I did not like Lucky.
I didn't like Lucky at first.
This nigga gotta go. At first, I did not like him, but this nigga gotta go was mainly him because.
Girl. He just came into the spot. Like he just when Lucky got introduced and she was like, yeah, he gonna stay with us for a little while. And Terry said, how long? And Lucky started cracking up like, he already trying to put me out because me and my mama built up what we have here.
And the fact that you didn't even want him at first, but you realize that that's a package deal because he was like, you're a blessing to your mama, especially not to me, but your mama will really
make sure
you
know. And like, that's why it was really interesting for me when they got to the wedding scene, how he decided to engage and embrace him. I was like, oh, my heart. I needed that for him. I needed that for him with him.
The cross. His chain. Like, that's his baby.
Put him on his shoulder for the pictures. And I love like fashion. It was very much hood fashion. Like that wedding on the block was everything. It was so cute.
And I would say he's you know how they'd be like, you can't be a good father and a good husband. I don't know. He was kind of a good father to Terry, but I wouldn't say he was a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know.
Separating, if he was even a good you can father. Separate them. I think because that he was a good father.
It's the way that, and I don't want to say that Terry contributed to him hating his mother, but he there were certain aspects where I was like, oh, okay, I see why you go to Lucky for certain things, because he lets you decide for yourself. He doesn't tell you have to do this, that, and the third. But the way Lucky was like, oh, maybe if you quiet down some, and then Terry parrots that too. And I'm like, God damn, how much did he take from you, Lucky?
Yeah. And it's interesting because of that dynamic. I think that there was he needed to have multiple personalities in the household to deal with. I always am going to say that even a single parent, if you have community around you, giving your child the ability, multiple personalities to deal with and not just yours, gives them a step up with how they're going to have to handle the world. Right. So I appreciated him for that, the freedom and difference in personality that he was able to bring out in Terry. But I also did peep how the things that he liked from Inez were things that he wanted her to stop. And when she called it out, I was grateful because she was making herself so small for everybody. When she gave up doing hair to go get a regular job, it gave her consistency. It gave her it gave her those things that she needed to be able to build life. But she was killing herself in the process. She was like, immediately, I miss doing hair. Yes. Immediately. So Inez was a complex character. I think that the writing of her was interesting. She fought so hard to have him and then couldn't appreciate him sometimes. He was the burden that she chose, though. She snatched this. And then when it came back out that it wasn't a snatch, he was abandoned.
And she picked up the pieces. But I did feel some type of way when she was like, one, I won because I know you're going to be something. And also the maybe I needed you more than you needed me. Baby. Like, yeah, babe.
And then to treat him like that and not talk to him. Because okay, shout out to Auntie Kim.
Man, don't you know Kim? I loved Kim's character because not only did Kim actually go to, let me find her.
Clark Atlanta. She went to college.
Terry Abney.
Terry Abney. Yeah, she actually went to Clark Atlanta.
I was like, I love it. She also studied at Duke Ellington School of the Arts. And her film debut was actually Money Matters as Miss Monique Money Matters in 2011. And she does
she's a stage queen. She was in Greenleaf apparently in the premiere episode, but she plays the sister of Loving, like in the Loving movie. She plays the sister. She does her thing, right? But Terry Abney, I think number one, fashion, the fact that they woke up and her hair wasn't done, they had the hot combs out, that old school press set. I loved that curling
Inez
set.
Was a classic 90s hairdresser and I loved it.
I loved the advertising in the street, her writing on other people's.
Yeah.
She was resourceful. I said, oh, the hustle. She was going to make sure she got what she needed. When she popped back up at that job and he was like, I was wondering where the fuck you was with the, like.
That shit.
Give me my last check then. He was like, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. This bitch said, give me my 2 weeks.
I'm not playing with you. I worked. I did real work for you. So it was very interesting. I loved that character. Tiana Taylor, not that I loved the character. I loved the drive that the character showed. And when Tiana Taylor, I think it's very interesting. There's a lot there. Currently, we're seeing there's a lot of parallels between her life and the character's life. Because it's come out. Kayla Nicole, who is the ex-girlfriend of...
Saw that, but I didn't understand what was going on because the only Kayla I know is the whoop, not
swoop. Like, why would I do it? Shout out to the only Kayla Nicole I know. What the fuck are y'all? Who are y'all talking about?
I'm like, who are these niggas?
Okay, so the connection is Tiana Taylor was married to Iman Shumpert. They are currently either divorcing or have divorced. They share two kids together. Kayla Nicole used to date Travis Kelce, who was a player for, he is a player for the Kansas City Chiefs. They were together before he won this most recent Super Bowl because now he is with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift got with him at the beginning of the season, which put a lot of emphasis and eyes on Kansas City. Kansas City has had an increase. Their ticket sales have gone up. Their merch has gone up because the Swifties are real, right?
Yeah.
Kayla Nicole started getting backlash from being with Travis Kelce before her, where the 50s were attacking her. She went on Angel Reese's podcast. Angel Reese was like, hey, hate that everybody always brings him up when they bring up your name, but like, what is something that you took from that? And she talks about that. In that interview, she also asks, what's one of the pettiest or, things that you've done in a relationship? And she says, well, I wasn't in a relationship, but I was in this situationship where this guy kind of played me to the left to date this once upon a time famous person. So me being petty, I dressed up as that person for Halloween. And they were like, oh, what is that? It's not hard to find the pictures. It comes back to Teyana Taylor.
Oh, because I'm like, how does this relate to Teyana Taylor? That's such
how that bounced so much. So right now she is being picked on, she's being antagonized, and she's having to again be strong, where she's already had to her marriage dissolved in public. People were saying that she was cheating. I don't know if you remember one time there was this like
this. I don't think she was cheating. I heard not, WCP.
He was.
Oh, I've heard that he was cheating. Because yes. I heard WTP, that album, and went, Gonna Love Me?
She was the desperation, the feeling that she was
out.
Man, so Teyana Taylor's ability to give this character, Inez, the layers and depth that she did, I don't know that she wasn't pulling from her own stresses right now, because it seems like she's going through a lot. Inez was a character that was despicable and lovable at the same time. Look at you over there, Jujulin.
No, because I'm like, wait, is that the right? It's KTS. No, it's called the album.
No, Keep wait That Same Energy is the album. Whip That Pussy is the name of, is a song
yes.
on the album.
Okay.
You know, like, what's your favorite song?
Look, I know my favorite song.
But Keep That Same Energy.
Songs. Yes, Keep That Same Energy is the name of the
Gonna
album.
Gonna Love Me.
Wanted to put that respect on that. So, Because that's an album.
She's an artist. She is multi-talented. Teyana Taylor, I don't know that we've talked about her before, but American singer, songwriter, actress, model, dancer, choreographer, and video director. She choreographed Beyonce's Ring the Alarm at the age of like 15. She was on Super Sweet 16 and had the Barbie box rollout. She's been stunting on you niggas. And then she turned around and she was signed to Star Trek. She dropped Google Me, which, baby, you can Google me. I can't hit them notes. But what she said is, if you don't know who the fuck I am, before IMDb came out, you were able to find who the fuck Teyana Taylor is, was, and will be. So for Kayla Nicole to play in her face and be like, oh, this one time famous person, bitch, you already was throwing shade. You didn't have to.
I don't even know you, Kayla Nicole. You're not even the famous Kayla Nicole.
You're not even the one. The Swifties know you, but as far as I know, it's Swoop the Whoop. So, like, to play in her face, especially with how the music industry is played in her face, I don't know that we'll ever get another Teyana Taylor album, because Kanye has fucked her over. Pharrell fucked her over. At this point, she is doing behind the scenes work for artists, because she knows what it takes to build up and make stage presence. And she worked with Summer Walker. She's worked with people and given them so much. Like, Teyana Taylor, and she is a Sagittarius, so I'm always going to wish them well. But I know what it means to love and really love somebody and then decide, you know what?
I'm done.
So Inez, the character, to me, I don't know when her birthday would be, but she definitely, there's so many parallels and overlaps between what's going on that, unfortunately, she's a Sagittarius.
Inez I really did like her character. It's just, she's a black mama in the 90s. Like, girl. And that's basically.
Should have been a category. Girl.
Like, ma'am, Miss Ma'am, and like, I get it, but like, also explain to this baby, like, I knew you wasn't gonna let Kim mama disrespect you like that, but also explain to this baby, hey, I know you like it here, but also they don't like mommy here, and we are a unit, and if they don't like me, we gotta go. Like, explain it to this baby. And the fact that Kim sat there and was like, oh, you gotta suck it up, that's just how she is, handle your mama.
But also, don't put your hands on my mama. I don't give a fuck what my mama say to you. My friend did not. You touch my mama, I'm going to have to beat your ass lovingly and respectfully. And if we can get past the ass whooping, then we can still be friends. And I'll apologize about it. But you know, if you put your hands on my mama, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you within every inch of my abilities.
That's true.
That's but just what mama, it has to be.
Her mama was out of fucking pocket. You calling me a streetwalker? Bitch, I do hair.
And nothing also, it was like, walkers,
mind you, but
we
like,
love them, but you're like, stop. She, at this time in the 90s, this is the time before hoes was really being appreciated, supported, and loved. So for you to treat her like that and talk to her like that, it was absolutely in full offense. She meant it. And I wondered what the background was, because she was like, I know that ain't hood ass Inez in my goddamn living room. I was like, what did I, what has Inez done in her life that has you labeling her like this?
And I think it's, I want to say it's just because she got locked up at Rikers for stealing, because
oh, what was she doing before then for it to be like that she's hood ass Inez, you know what I'm saying? Because that can't
she was in the system too, so
yeah, and so then, like what,
and that might be because that I might be enough. It does feel prejudice, it does feel like, oh, you're not one of us, you're not, because ma'am, especially I don't like the fact that she was around her son like that. You're not finna poison my son against me. That's the part that pissed me off the most. Like,
yeah, I didn't even think about that. The way that they were treating him and made him so that he wanted to stay there despite how she was being treated, because they were only doing it on the low in ways that was very adult. He was young. And like, mm-hmm. Okay, so we have the different Terrys. So young Terry was Aaron Kingsley Adetola. And then we have Terry at age 13 or so, Avon Courtney. And then we have Terry again at 17, almost 18, who was played by Josiah Crofts.
Yes. So Aaron is an American actor and model. He started working at age 2.
Cutest so thing.
So adorable. So he's done Rise. He's done 1001 and he's done Julius. So he's modeled for numerous brands, including Zara, Saks, and Target. Mm-hmm. Avon is an American actor, dancer, and model. He started dance training in all styles of hip hop, performing alongside Nas, Busy B, Dave East, Lin-Manuel Miranda, just to name a few. And he's done a number of like ad campaigns as well with like Macy's and Finish Line. And his debut was actually a film called Strive in 2019 as Ty. And Josiah, did you want to take that one?
Josiah has done a lot of work. He's been doing all kinds of stuff. He's an American actor from Cleveland, Ohio. He went to Cal State University Northridge and was awarded a scholarship to train at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So that's a drama school in London that provides vocational conservatoire training for theater, film, television, and radio, which means that he can give you all of that. He was chosen out of how many people to do that? He was in King Richard. He has been working. He's gotten some stuff on the stage as well. I think that Josiah Crofts is going to be somebody that we're absolutely going to want to look into and keep in mind, because the portrayal that he gave of Terry, the almost cry, not cry, the battle of emotions, the trying to keep it in, especially as a young man in like 2002, 2003, 2004. I can imagine New York having to be real, like it, I can imagine, right? And so he was having to do and like give so much. And Josiah Crofts, I feel like we should be fans. I'm excited to see what he does.
I am too. The way he's real baby face, because the way I mixed up the ages at first, I was like, he don't look 21. This nigga was 26 at time of filming.
Playing a 17-year-old baby face. 17-year-old.
Because I was like, oh, we went from, I counted wrong. I thought we went from like 6 to 17 to 21. So
he was graduating high school. And that's why it was interesting. They were, you know, his the counselor from the specialty school that came in ended up, Mrs. Tucker ended up being a part of his community. She is a mandated reporter, right? And I know being in places as a mandated reporter, it's sticky because you want to be able to lie sometimes, but some you have to report. There is no choice.
That's part of the I hate my mom, because like the way y'all had such a strained relationship where you couldn't just go to her and be like, hey, I need my birth certificate, my social security, because they're offering me a job and I'm trying to help out here because I understand they're trying to bullshit us with the apartment. No, but you had to go steal.
Oh my God. He didn't steal it. She was dealing with Lucky, who was in the hospital and worsening in condition. So I think that for Terry, he was probably thinking, I can do this on my own. I don't have to bother her about this, because she's dealing with a lot, right? But it was interesting because Lucky, William Catlett, they smoked cigarettes together. It seemed like he had some type of lung something. I don't know what it was, but he had cancer. Yeah. William Catlett is an American actor and producer from Alexandria, Virginia. He is the founder of the Catlett Academy. So if you want to go get some training under him, you absolutely can, which I thought is magnificent because we've seen some of the older actors give back to the community in that way. And mm-hmm. I love for this actor who is current right now to say, you've seen me and you can see me and you can learn from me while I'm learning and growing. I love right. that. He was formerly in the military and worked for the government, which to me seems like, as a person from Alexandria, Virginia, which the military is strong out there, if you come out of high school and don't have very specific plans for yourself or a determination not to go, they will get you, as a person who's from a military city, right? But he worked with Salim Akil and Mara Brock Akil on Love Is, and then he did again with that married couple for Black Lightning. And he's earned an NAACP award nomination for, I was like, wait, that's not how that goes. NAACP Image Award for his role in the comedy thriller True Story, which, you know, I love comedy or thriller. So let's get into that.
Yeah. He also did Garden Hills, Issa Rae's First, and produced Giants and the short film Stages. So he was on Lovecraft Country, which now I want to go back and see
where he pops up. And
right, so
like cast, A.V. Rockwell, I feel like she really did her thing. She is the director of this film. She got support by, I want to say it was Searchlight. No, Focus Features and Universal Pictures. So we know that those are heavy hitters.
This was her directorial feature film debut. Like, nigga, how you come out the jump like this?
Swinging, right? So it's interesting because I wasn't able to find what they did budget, like what their budget was for the movie. And that's because it's her, you know, for whatever reason, they kept it on the hush. I did see that Lena Waithe was involved in this. There was some names.
With the producer,
So, but the reason why A.V. Rockwell got this type of support is because she... in 2018, released a short film called Feathers, which debuted at the Toronto International Film Fest. She was named the grand prize winner for the Tribeca Film Fest, and she did Chanel's Through Her Lens grant, so she got that money. She was part of the 2019 Sundance Film Festival with Feathers. So then Feathers ended up being acquired by Fox Searchlight and Searchlight Shorts for their collection. So even before she was like, you have to do a lot of work to get to Sundance, to get to these film festivals. She's done the work, and that's what makes it awesome, right? She also worked on a music short with Alicia Keys.
Yeah, the gospel for the album Here, which got her a Clio Award, which Alicia probably saw Open City mixtape, which she did in Black and White, following young people's stories in NYC, and was like, oh, I want to do that. So that is awesome.
A.V. Rockwell has built up her resume. What happened, babe?
My computer was about to die.
Okay. But A.V. Rockwell has done the work to build up her resume, so it makes it so that with this being her directorial and debut film, 1001 is absolutely something to look out with. Now, because I don't have estimation on on budget, let's say it was about $1 million, what do you think that they did with revenue?
I remember seeing the advertisements for this movie, and I remember it only because I was like, oh, Tiana Taylor has a movie out. But I don't remember people talking about it online. That's the only thing. I was like, did you niggas go see this? How is it? So let's say it was $1 million. I want to say they did at least 5 times.
So they did $3.5 million in revenue. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I researched this because you are absolutely right. There was some there was some decent advertisement for it. I saw it advertised on a streaming.
Oh.
So I saw some of it because it was at Sundance. People who went to Sundance, people who went to some of these film festivals were maybe talking about it. Maybe they went to a premiere. I saw very specific Black media talking about it. And because I follow a good amount of Black media, I was able to see maybe 4 or 5 people who were getting this out. I was excited. I did not see where it would be available to me in theater. Do you know why? Of the 2,278 total theaters in the U.S., it opened in 926.
Why?
So that's about, I don't know numbers. I'm not going to guess.
That's less than half.
But that's less than half. So with what they did with less than half, they made 3.5 times what the estimated assumed budget is because you can't find it online. So I think that your 5 times, had they been given the platform to display it, I think they would have given a lot more. And again, I saw it on a streaming network. Like, I was able to see it advertised. Like, they were like, only on, you can bleep that. But it was only on that streaming. You know what I mean? So I was very interested in, like, the why about it. But they limited their audience to make sure that the impact, the people who went to go see it would be people who wanted to go see that type of film. It's not just for everybody who's just like, oh, it's Thursday at 11. What do you want to go see? Not necessarily them, right? People who were like, I want to go see this film. It was kind of like, I feel like Pariah had the same type of, if there was 3,000 theaters at the time, Pariah was in 812 theaters, that type of thing, you know? So budget-wise, I feel like they did okay. Focus Features and Universal Pictures absolutely picked a winner in A.V. Rockwell. They picked a winner in developing this script. Like, absolutely. What were your ticks for your categories?
My ticks were Flabbergasted had 9, which was all of those questions. And then she be saying some inappropriate things to him. My body was a playground for 1,000 niggas before you came on.
Oh, my God. And when he said disgusting, even young, he understood that's not
right. So, and the fact that when we found out like the whole twist, I was like, ooh, how dare you? What? So, Just Like a Black Mama had 10, and it was just mainly communication, like, had 10 as well, which was the gentrification. It was a lot.
Oh, the introduction of Mayor Giuliani, the introduction of, who was it before? Michael Blumberg.
Yes.
There was so much was little, so little tips that
the way they got married.
This was a historical fiction.
The way Lucky talked to her sometimes. Or the way Jerry talked to her sometimes. It fucked me. This nigga got to go had 12. I liked him further along during the movie, but like this, I heard my mom have 14 because Inez was right when she was like, you didn't give me grace or you didn't like vouch for me because
who loves me?
The fact that he blamed her for running out Lucky until he found out that Lucky had a daughter with somebody else. Didn't even offer no apology or nothing. He was just
looked at her like, whoa, like you took all of that. And you waving her over to get a plate, that's love. You have a capacity for love that I've never even seen in you until now when he's gone and I can see this different side or whatever. She's always been this person. Right. She just wasn't always able to show you because she was balancing many things. Because
that man was a rolling stone. Like,
he was so much. Oh, I didn't say nothing when you was gone for weeks at a time. You just want me to be quiet, right?
And LOL had 7, the very inappropriate. Sometimes appropriate. Try anything.
I didn't have many laughs. I didn't have many laughs. This. I was like, damn. Oh, the Hustle has 9. Oh, the Baby has 33.
Oh my God.
I was broken for him all throughout this movie. But the fact that he wanted to do things and go to Juilliard when he met Simone, I was so excited for him. So some of it was excited for him, you know. And then it was like this. It was a nauseating roller coaster ride. There were so many downs to the very little ups. It's a Cycle had 16. Fashion, it's Fashion, had 13. Yeah, That Hurt had 35. And a lot of it was him asking questions the way that she responded to her inability. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, you know, was 32. There was so much that felt like it was coming. When that white man went from owning the building across the street to owning their building, when he walked over and introduced himself, I just started ticking. I felt it. Something bad's gonna happen. But the heart emoji, I had 29. There, it might have been the LOLs, like times that I kind of laughed. I was given a break from being so like hurt for them as a unit, as the whole of them, right? There were times that I hurt for New York for the gentrification that they went through. It hurt that they didn't have a shower or running water. Like, they had been good in that space. When they lost that space, I was hurt for them. When Inez was in the house and Kim was like, go buy the house and get your things, I said, uh-oh, his mama there. And when he walked in and she could not and did not want to talk to him, there was so much hurt in this. But when she said she won, she felt it. And at the end, that little smirk that she gave was because she won. Because
he's going to become somebody. He wanted to be Quincy Jones.
And she's not getting arrested. Right. He wanted to be Quincy Jones. He's smart enough to do it. She's not arrested. My baby's about to be 18. And the driver's like, where do you want to go? And the fact that she's like, I have the option to go wherever I want to because I did what I set out to
and
do.
And the way I was mad that that is how it ended, because I'm like, I really wanted them to get reunited despite how strained their relationship was. I really wanted them. Yeah. That got a point off, by the way. I literally at 10 and I was like, point, point, point. P, the way P became light-skinned, I didn't like that.
Well, I became light-skinned with age.
Because he became light-skinned and then colorist. I'm like, nigga, you was the same.
He was always colorist.
He was colorist flipping Terry as a baby. So I was like, uh-uh, point off.
I was glad when Inez pointed that shit out with Terry and was like, oh, nigga, the fuck?
And then how dark it was, I commented like 3 times how dark this fucking film was. 1994, you got so much fucking light pollution. Brighten it the fuck up. I literally had to, halfway through the movie, I said, did a black person direct this? Oh, they did. Okay.
They did.
Because this movie was so fucking dark. I will forever complain about that shit.
It was dark. It was dark. It wasn't last season, last episode's Game of Thrones dark, but it was dark. Yeah. Well, that makes our ranking a 7.75 out of 10, which I'm comfortable with. How do you feel about
that? I like that ranking.
I like it. IMDb gave this a 7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 97%. I think it's because, again, people are in the mood for, like, realer storytelling. We are, I don't say we are, but, like, we know, hashtag not they target audience. I'm tired of white girl storytelling. Oh, yeah. Y'all this have, it's comparable. This was completely different. It was
the
beautiful.
The way I was trying not to cry at the end, because he didn't have no home to go back to, or at least he felt like he didn't have a home to go back to. Like, he didn't know where his mama was going. Thank God for Kim.
But you know where he went? The safest place he had ever known in his life, and it was
and
with
I
Kim.
I appreciate that, because Kim, I literally remarked it, and I was like, Kim is his village.
That's it. It was so sad. To my mom and them, if you decide to watch this movie, do not pay for the shit.
Hit me
I
up.
Love you. Is Hit that us? Up. Hit me up. Little hearts,
little
big hearts.
All the hearts. This was a very good movie.
All right, y'all. Then it was so good. Please get into it. The next episode we're doing is The Pickies, because this was the last of our women directed it season. Oh, baby's about to cry. Gotta support. Love y'all.